Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download Bashani Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.
Sadly, you've lost a loved one. You're experiencing complicated grief and don't know what to do. You feel you're losing your mind, or you're experiencing a dark night of the soul due to some painful life challenges and can't seem to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Perhaps you're struggling in your marriage or relationship and feel like throwing in the towel. Maybe you're a student and struggling with your self-esteem and suffer from test anxiety. Or you're a business person hitting the glass ceiling and struggling in your business and need a breakthrough. Or maybe you simply need to retreat and hear yourself think so you may recharge and refocus. Whatever the challenges you face, Victorious Living has developed a solution for you. Call Victorious Living at 1-721-524-8731, 1-721-522-2084, or 1-888-VICTORY. That's 1-888-388-4286. Or visit us at victoriouslivingfoundation.com and transform your life today.
Thank you so much, Richelda, for that request that you wanted to be played on Love and Inspiration. A very pleasant good afternoon to each and every one of you listening to Love and Inspiration with your host, Roy Cotton Jr. here, live from out of beautiful St. Martin, Eastern Caribbean. It's a pleasure to have you with me on the show today, and also my special guest, who is straight out of the USA, and to be exact, from beautiful Maryland. And I am talking about Vyree Brendan Nettleford. And she is here with me on Love and Inspiration today, as she's got a powerful story to share with you. And I know you're not going to move from your seat. She's going to share her phenomenal story of being wounded, widowed, and winning. She's super excited because it's a book launch she has, and you're going to hear more. So without further ado, good afternoon and welcome to Love and Inspiration. Vyree, how are you doing?
Thank you so much for having me. I feel amazing this Sunday evening.
It's a pleasure to have you with me here also too on Love and Inspiration. How are you feeling?
Feeling great. I'm feeling a little hoarse because I was at my son's football game yesterday. But, you know, I'm here. I'm alive. I feel God is doing amazing things in my life and everyone that's connected to me. So that makes me feel great.
Fantastic. And I know it's the first time that you're on Love and Inspiration. I know when we spoke with each other, you were so super excited for this opportunity to be on the show. And here you are.
Yes, here I am. It happened. Thank you so much for the opportunity. You and your lovely wife, Nicole. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So, you know, let's just get straight into this, because the persons who really want to hear what you have to share, because right now St. Martin is listening to you, the Eastern Caribbean, and of course the whole world. And it is so fitting, Vyree, for us to have this conversation, because there's so many persons out there, as you know, that are going through so much. And sometimes it is so unbearable. It's like, how do I get through this? Am I the only person in this situation? But here today, God has used you, as I understood, to really, really make a difference in person's life. So just for persons to get a little bit of an idea about you, Vyree, where were you born? Tell us a little bit about your early years, and then we're going to get straight into, you know, more about you, Vyree.
Sure. So my early years, it was very up and down, right? So I was born to this beautiful Irish woman called Crystal and to this amazing Black man called Tyrone, you know, and back in those days, it wasn't well received of interracial children and relationships, let alone marriage, right? So they got married and they had four children, which was myself being the only female, and then my three brothers, right? And their relationship was very rocky, dealing with drugs and alcohol and, you know, the instability of young couples being married and having children. And then on top of that, living in a society that did not receive interracial marriages. So they brought me over from Ohio, which I was born in Dayton, Ohio, over to New York City to my grand aunt's house, which is my grandfather's sister. And she took in four children, me and my three brothers. And then my dad and my mom went on to live their lives. And that was the last time I saw my mom. So my mom left when I was two. But my dad was there, right? He was in and out. And I was raised by this wonderful, amazing, God-fearing woman, Hazel. And she raised four children on her own. I grew up in foster care, which was considered kinship. And so, you know, in and out of homes whenever she would go on vacation. But to the overall picture was she was an amazing mother, not having any children of her own, trying to figure it all out in her late 50s, right? So going through menopause and, you know, raising these interracial children coming up in a Black community, we were teased, you know, oh, that's not your real mom because you're not the same color, you know, the ignorance of it all. And then, you know, trying to figure it all out as we went along. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, Bushwick to be exact, and it was a drug infested neighborhood. But I feel like my childhood was wonderful, as most people do, right? We had block parties and, you know, sleepovers and things of that nature. But then when I went on to grow, I went to high school, and then I went to college where I met my oldest children's father. We got married, had two kids. It was a very abusive relationship, so I got out of that one. And then I went on to meet my deceased husband when I was in my late 20s. And then we had a young girl, a daughter by the name of Camille. So I have three children, John, Jada, and Camille. Hmm. So growing up was very interesting and like a roller coaster, to say the least.
Wow. You know, it's so very important that you shared that with us, just to give the listeners an idea of who you are, as it leads us into what we are going to talk about today. And I just want to let you know, Viary, that there are many persons who are listening right now to the show. I'm already receiving messages coming in about the show, that they're tuned in to hear you. So let's go straight into this, because you said as a young child, and, you know, of course, being a child, you're feeling happy. And that's what's supposed to happen. You're a child growing up, and you should really be able to enjoy such a time. But, of course, along the way, things happen to you, which you never asked for. And that is part of where you got wounded. But as we talk about this, Viary, you wrote a book, which this is all about here. It was Wounded, Widowed, and Winning, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about what really prompted you to write this book, as we unpack this whole situation that you've been through or experienced.
Wow. Now, you know, Roy, this is such a great question, because when we have trauma in life, we want to keep that to ourselves. We want to hold on to our pain, and we are choosing not to release it. We're choosing not to be empowered by our testimonies, right?
Right.
And so going through a stage in my life, or a season, so to speak, in my life where I felt like all was lost, right? I lost my husband. I lost my home. I was homeless. I felt like I had hit the bottom. And then in the process of building back up again, I realized that I wasn't alone. I wasn't the only one that felt the way I felt. I wasn't the only one that wanted to let it all go, or, you know, commit suicide, or, you know, just feel like there was nothing else for me. And when I realized that there were more people out there in my same shoes, I wanted to be that portal. I wanted to be that a conduit to let people know that there is light at the end of the tunnel. It is not all lost when you feel like you've lost it all. Mm. All isn't lost. And so I wanted to be that voice to empower those out there, women, men, children, adolescents, to let them know, to let every listener know that God has a plan for you. It doesn't mean because you have lost someone in your life and, you know, you feel like everything around you is crumbling that it's all over. It's not all over. And so the reason why I wrote my story is because, one, it was therapeutic, right? Releasing it and letting it out. It helped me in the process. And two, letting others know, because I know for me, I felt alone most of the time, you know, and when you get really in depth in the book, it talks about the statistical disparities of in the church and how us women, widows in the church are just passed over. We're not even a second thought, right? Mm. And there aren't really many widow ministries in the body of Christ, which is a disadvantage to the body because it was a charge by Paul. Paul charged people, listen, take care of the widows and the orphans. And a lot of times I felt alone in the church. I felt alone in the body of Christ. And that was another thing that I wanted to speak to. So what empowered me and pushed me to write my testimony as a scribe of God was to empower others and to help others find their voice in the midst of pain.
That's so very powerful. And I'm so happy that you shared that. And of course, not disregarding what you've been through, Vairi. But yeah. So important that, you know, as persons are listening to you speak right now, they would say, okay, it's for widows that you've written this book. But it's so very important that you shared that and you made it so clear that it is written for any person, absolutely, no matter whatever age they may be, that, you know, may have experienced something traumatic in their life. And to just know that they're able to rise, which we'll hear a little bit more about that, about the winning part, from that all. And, you know, so interesting too, just to build on that, Vairi, as you speak about that from in church, where you have experienced feeling alone and thinking about, but here I'm in church where, you know, this person's the body of Christ and would be thinking about and wanting to look out for me. But here you're feeling lonely after losing your husband. That's very interesting, actually. Wow.
Yeah, I totally felt alone. But here's the thing, Roy, that I realized. I put on a mask, right? Because I had this sense of feeling like I had to prove something. I had to prove that I was strong. Many times when we're in the midst of turmoil and trauma, we feel like we have to prove God's word to be true, even when we don't feel it.
Right.
I'll say that again. In the midst of trauma, which I became a widow with three children and I lost, the church didn't even know I was homeless.
Wow.
Because I felt like I had to prove that God's word says you are more than a conqueror. I am an overcomer. So I had to prove that his word was real through my false mask. It was an identity. But see, this is where we go wrong. God's word is already proven because he died on the cross for us. So for me, I felt like I couldn't be transparent. I couldn't be naked in the body of Christ because I would be judged.
Wow.
Well, wouldn't you do right? You know how Job sat there and his friends came to visit him? Each one said, well, what did you do wrong? Well, I didn't do anything. I was serving. I was ministering across the country, been to Africa, Aruba, so many different places, ministering God's word. What did I do wrong? Nothing. Nothing, but I felt like I couldn't show my scars because of being judged or something that I did. And so I did. I felt very alone. I felt, you know, like I had to come in every Sunday or every Wednesday and put on this face of smiling and everything is all good, and then go home and close myself into my dark room and dying on the inside.
Wow.
And many times that's how many of us feel, but we just don't say it. And I'm just that bold enough to say, listen, I see you. I hear you. We see you. We hear you. And you don't have to die in that place.
That is so powerful. Vairi, you know, this is not something that, you're just making up. This is reality.
No.
And
yes.
I could see by the response that are coming in from listeners, they can concur with what you're speaking about, because
wow.
that mask that you put on was, you know, for you just mm-hmm. to get through every day. But at the mm-hmm. end of the day, you were being torn up inside.
Yes.
And no one knew about that, because at the end of the day, because you were in the body of Christ, it is
right.
so exactly stated that you're more than a conqueror. And for some whatever reasons it would be, you should not be hurting. You should not be going through whatever. That could be mm-hmm. sometimes the thought process, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
But I think many times where it's nothing wrong with not feeling like a conqueror, I think where we lack, and I'm sure many can concur, is the teachings on, okay, I don't feel like a conqueror right now. What do I do in this space? And I'm a leader. I'm sitting in the front row. I'm clergy. I have my collar on. Who can I talk to and bear my soul to and not be judged by this? Where is the teachings to show me that it's okay not to feel like a conqueror, but already knowing that I've conquered the situation?
Mm.
I think that's where we can, you know, bridge the gap, those empty spaces in ministry, in teaching. Listen, we understand you, we see you, but here's what you can do. It's okay to bare your soul, but when you finish crying, I'm gonna show you how to get up. I'm gonna show you how to be, you know, to do your finances. I'm gonna show you how to operate in ministry. I'm gonna show you when you need to sit down, when you know that you're so broken, you can't pour into others. I'm gonna show you, you know, how indicators mm-hmm. of when you can get up and serve again. I'm gonna show you how to be a single mother. Let's create those areas and those atmospheres and those workshops in ministry, even in widowhood, right? Or in widowers. We have more and more widowers nowadays. Let's create those workshops for single mothers. Let's create those workshops for people that are being restored from homelessness, right? Or on welfare. Let's show them how to merge off of it, or to be restored in social society without dependency of welfare. Mm. Let's show them how. Just don't tell me that I'm more than a conqueror. Show me how to do it. Show me how to be it.
You know, Vairi, you've just said
yes.
something powerful. And I'm even going to add on to this, which
okay.
I know you're going to also recognize how powerful this is. And the listeners out there, one of the listeners sent in a message stating the church is so full of lonely people.
Yes.
Can you imagine that? That's,
yes.
That's a powerful statement. And I want to say this. You talked about how, you know, that help can be administered for persons who may be widowed. But also think about this, Vairi. It may be even self a situation where today self, you've got persons who are married, and I'm just saying this
oh,
as
yes.
an example, who are married.
Oh, yes.
And it could be the man or it could be the woman, and even self, that marriage is already dead and
yeah.
someone is in there being a widow already, even though their husband is alive. So it's like they're lonely in that marriage because the marriage is dead. You understand?
And this is where this is where I say we are so powerful as a kingdom. We are so powerful as the body of Christ, because God has given us the authority. He has given us the power to empower. He has given us the power to speak to things, to create atmospheres, to change situations if we, one, stop judging people in regards to judge by the word of God, right? So if I'm a wife and I come to you and say, listen, I'm having this problem in my home, I don't want to hear my business in such and such home. Let's just keep the confidentiality in banking. I come from banking, and you'll get fired for something like that.
Mm.
So why aren't we holding the body of Christ just as accountable as we do the world? They take our principles and they apply it to businesses in the secular realm. Why are we not holding the body of Christ with that same accountability, right? And so making people feel comfortable to come into the fold, making people feel comfortable to come and speak to us and know that there's a sense of confidentiality, right? And accountability. So, you know, those workshops, as I spoke on before, are imperative, you know, to the building of the kingdom of God.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Love and Inspiration with your host here, Roy Cotton Jr. And I'm speaking with Vyari Brandon Nettles Ford, live from out of Maryland in the USA. And she's the author of the new book called Wounded, Widowed, and Winning. And Vyari, as persons are listening to you, as we continue this powerful conversation here in Love and Inspiration, if persons want to actually, you know, purchase your book, where can they go to now? Is there a site that you can share with them? Yeah, go ahead while we continue.
So you can purchase my book on Amazon.com and you can type in Wounded, Widowed, and Winning. It's not an and as A-N-D, it's an and sign. Or you can go to my website at www.vyarebrandon.com. That is www.vyarebrandon.com.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. And Vyari, just to let you know, as the messages are coming in, I received one that came in just now saying, amen to accountability. I also received one here, which was stated, wow, yes, we single mothers need that. Very true, Ms. Vyari. I've also got another message that came in, a powerful conversation with you. And another one came in, sometimes we don't want to talk. We don't want folks to know we're going through stuff. And if we let folks know, some spread it like wildfire, you know, not even a prayer. So, you know, there's a lot of listeners that concur with you right now on Love and Inspiration. Yeah. Now, Vyari, let's go back to something very important here, because as I'm looking at the a bit from your book, you stated feeling emotion, feeling the pains in my stomach, reliving the excruciating moments of that very dreadful day, going home, telling my children their dad wasn't coming home, to the torment of trying to move on and not being fulfilled because it wasn't him touching me, holding me, or hearing his voice. Now, just to give listeners a little bit of an idea, what happened with your former husband, your deceased husband? What happened?
Yes. So he had diabetes. And the previous year, prior to him passing away, he was in a coma for 3 days. Hallelujah. He rose on that third day. But he was in a coma because of a seizure. So they, you know, he had a diabetic seizure, which they had to put him into a coma, medically induced coma. And he came back to us that particular time. But then, you know, fast forward a year, and he was a musician. I was a minister in dance, and also a minister of the word. And he was at his parents' church, and I was at my church, and it was like afternoon service, and I was ministering in dance. He was on the keyboard. They'd just finished eating, and I think it's important for me to say this. I went over to his church, to his parents' church, to get offering, and I know many of our wives that are on here can, you know, understand the going to their husband saying, hey, need offering money. So I went to him, I grabbed, you know, some offering money, and he says to me, oh, you're just going to come and take my money and leave. So we laughed, and I gave him a kiss, and he's like, always remember, I'll always love you. And I was like, oh, come on, I love you too. And I want to pause there for a second. Don't take things for granted. Those little moments matter, because you never know when you're going to hear it again. So fast forward, I left. I went over to my church. He was at his church. and he had a seizure while he was playing on the keyboard. Now, I'd finished ministering, and I checked my phone, and it was like 50 messages. And so I ran, I called, you know, over there. I ran over there, and all night, it was very peculiar because they took him into the emergency room, and everyone left me. I find that very interesting because now looking back on it 10 years later, it was a moment where I had a reckoning with the Father. Many of us, our road to Damascus experience is very different, but we will all have one. We will all stand in a moment or in a place in time where we feel like we are desiring God to answer us one way, but he answers us another. One thing I will say to that is he'll always give you a word before the storm. And so the entire night I'm in the emergency room and everyone leaves. The previous time he had a coma, everyone stayed with me, right? The entire time. So this time his mother left, his dad left, and his sister left, and I was there through the whole night. I kept going back and forth to the bathroom, back and forth to the bathroom. And every time I would go to the restroom, I would hear God say, he's healed. The first time, the second time I heard God say, I'm bringing him out of this. I'm bringing him out of this. Then I would go back. And then the last time I went to the restroom, he said, you are going to be okay. And that was a word to me to say, I cried because I'm like, no, God, you know, I want him to live. I want him to live here. And God said, you will be okay. You are going to be okay. I went back and I went to his bed and I felt his body, and one side was cold, one side was warm. And so I sat there in front of his bed the entire night, and I saw this angel like above his head, and I'm sitting there and I felt a peace come over me. And the next morning, everyone came to the hospital, and at 11 o'clock, literally when everybody was there, his mother, his sister, his father, the doctor came out to me, and she, and when you guys get the book, you'll read about this. She rubbed my arm and she said, I'm sorry. And I fainted. Now, many would say, oh, you were overwhelmed with grief. I fainted because I was tired. I fainted because it was all night. I was drained. I had nothing left, but I received a word from the Lord that I would be okay. And when I came to, because I passed out, when I came to, I went up in tongue and I started speaking in my heavenly language, and the entire emergency room was weeping. It felt like a scene out of a movie. The entire emergency room was weeping. They were speaking in tongue. It was amazing, but I felt the presence of God just resting there, and I felt a peace because he had given me a word. Even before I entered the storm, I didn't know what I was going into. I didn't know what single motherhood was going to be like now. I didn't know what widowhood was going to be like now. I didn't even know what my next second was going to be like. But I knew because God had given me a word that I would be okay. And so moving forward, you know, in the book tells, you know, the journey of me leaving the hospital, the journey of me, you know, going home to tell my children, and here I was, right? Having to tell my 2-year-old daughter, my 4-year-old daughter, and then my 8-year-old son, that their dad wasn't coming home anymore. And that is the most difficult, the most confusing, unsettling thing, I think, one of the things I've ever experienced in my life.
I can only imagine, because at the end of the day, it's not that you asked for that situation to take place.
Correct.
But it was beyond your control. And then here, you're having to go on now as a single mother, having to go on as a widow, and having to actually you know, to whatever level, or specifically focusing on the level that your children will be able to understand that dad is not coming home again. Do you mind just sharing, as we continue, of course, Vairi, with the listeners out there, how they can be get a hold of your book? So once again, you can go ahead.
Sure. So you can go to www.vairibrandon.com, and that is www.VIRIEB.com.
Wow, thank you for sharing that. And I just want to let you know that another message came in to you, Vairi. Thank you, it stated, Vairi, for that inspiring, frank, honest, and powerful testimony. I'm positively sure that your book will transform many lives. I thank you. Thank God for you. That is awesome. Coming in from a listener. And another one is, she is a strong woman, which of course is relating to you. And then we've got another one. Wow, very powerful. And to actually hear from God, that's really powerful, Vairi.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
As I'm listening to you, how can it, there's just no words for it. Because thinking about this transition, you've lost your husband, but also you're still at peace. And then years later, you know, you are remarried, which we're going to come to in just a bit. But I think it's so important for persons to listen to what I'm going to share here. And this is so powerful. You said, this journey has not only altered the direction of my life, but it has forced me into a place of the unknown. I've asked myself repeatedly, what's out there for me now? Where do I go from here? How do I survive with only half of me? Do I still have a purpose now that I'm widowed? The lack of clarity was overwhelming as I became blinded by the slew of unanswered questions and confusion. That's so powerful. I thought I would just share that. But let's go back a little bit, Vairi, to your younger years. Wounded.
Yes.
Okay? Wounded. Because you state, desiring someone to notice the pain that was tormenting me beyond the smile they saw on my face has always been a struggle for me, which you mentioned earlier. But you talked about when you were a girl and you said, I'm the only girl of three siblings.
Yep.
And you said, often I felt like a target for boys and men who came around. And let's fast forward here. And it was, as you stated, you were taken in by your great aunt, correct? Okay. And because your biological mother left your father when you were only 2 years old, as you stated earlier. And you were by your great aunt or grand aunt who had no biological children. Now something, you know, happened and you said in your book here, I remember as being about 9 years old when she allowed my cousin who was recently released from prison to come and live with us a while as he worked on rebuilding his life on the outside. And it was a situation that happened at school where you stated that he said he was going to discipline you. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened during that time?
Sure. So just to transition into going backwards, this is also another trigger for the writing of the book or the book's creation. Knowing that or thinking that you are healed from one thing and then something amazing happens in your life and that is torn away from you. All of those unresolved issues or unresolved situations from your childhood into adolescence, it all comes streaming back now, right? And so because I didn't totally explore, or I wasn't healed, right? Let's call it for what it is. I wasn't healed from the things of my childhood. Now, when I became a widow, it was just depression, just hit like a ton of bricks. And so going back, when my mom was an amazing woman, right? And I talk about my grand aunt, excuse me, she was an amazing woman. And she had a heart of gold, and she did what she was taught, which was to open your home to the needy, right? And that's the word of God, you know, feed the hungry, right? Clothe those that don't have any clothes, put shoes on the feet of those that, you know, don't have shoes. So that's what she did. To her, it was fulfilling the purpose, fulfilling the mission. And so she invited my cousin or uncle into the house. You know, when we're from the South, right? And so we call cousins uncles because of respect.
Right.
And so she invited him into the house, and I really want you guys to get the book, because when you read it, it's quite different than the way I tell it to you. And so, you know, he violated me. He came in my room one day and he basically pushed himself on me. And he told me if I told anybody, you know, they wouldn't believe me anyway, because I was this young, fast girl. Now, I really wasn't. I was very, you know, to myself, quiet. And I felt like a target because I was so, you know, passive and very quiet to myself. So with that, it pushed me into a more introverted state, and not telling. I wanted to tell my mom, I wanted to tell, you know, people, but growing up, what I did was I suppressed it, and it went down so deep that I totally forgot about it until I became a widow.
Wow.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, of course it does, because something triggered. Triggered,
yes.
Because triggers is what takes you back to a specific trauma in your life.
Absolutely.
And thinking about it, as I look at this excerpt here, you were lacking a father figure.
Mm-hmm.
The fact was your father left many years back. So of course, when your cousin stated he's going to discipline you, and your cousin did what, you know, the way how he approached the situation, which persons could read about in the book. Mm-hmm. You know, you were young, you were naive, you were only 9 years old.
9 years old.
You see?
And as innocent.
Innocent. And you said, I felt a sense of protection, especially with the lack of a father figure. Mm-hmm. So at that time, he knew that you didn't have a father in your life. So that was the moment to take advantage of you at only 9 years old. And of course, later on, being widowed and you don't have your husband with you, your first husband, of course, it's going to trigger, because what you missed back then, which now you miss because your husband is gone, it triggered. That's so powerful.
Right.
It's to show you how trauma definitely plays a role in our lives when we're not even conscious of it.
And it's important for us to not be afraid to address them. And a lot of times, I know with my mom growing up, she was old school. So, you know, in that day, you don't even mention what happened to you, right? You can't even talk about it. You can't talk about certain things. And so I believe for me and my daughters, I've created a space and an atmosphere, you know, talk about it. Tell me how you feel. You may not be right, and you're not going to like everything that I say, but we're going to hear each other out. And creating those atmospheres, not only for our daughters, but for our sons as well. It's important, you know, because they can be dealing with things that we're unaware of. And we don't want them to fear talking to us. We don't want them to have a sense of insecurity in talking to us. We want them to open up and tell us, you know, what they're feeling. And I just simply didn't have that.
That's so very important, as you stated, Advairi, as a mother. And just for persons to know, how old are your children presently?
That's so interesting. So listen, guys, I became a widow at the tender age of 30. My son is currently 20. He just turned 20 on November 5th.
Okay.
My daughter is 16 and my youngest daughter is 13. And I am 40 years old.
You're 40. Wow. Still a young
40.
Woman.
And, yes.
And looking back a bit, thank you for sharing that. And when did you lose your husband? When did you lose him? How old was he then at that time?
Okay, so I was 30 and he was 41. So we was 12 years apart.
12
we were
years
12
apart.
Years.
Yeah. Difference, right. And moving forward, thank you for sharing that. now you have a new love in your life, and we're going to go back just after this.
Yes.
And because there's still something important that we do need to share with the listeners before we finish this powerful conversation with each other.
Yes.
You have a new love in your life, mm-hmm. and you recently got remarried. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to you, Viore.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Tell us a little bit about that, because I can imagine, and persons right now listening to you and me speak, mm-hmm. I'm sure in their minds, they're thinking about, but how did that go with mm-hmm. the fact of you had your husband before? Was there some fear factor that maybe I don't want to go down that route again to love because
right.
of potentially losing another husband or even mm-hmm. self? How did you find that way to love? Because here you have a new husband who's coming in brand new, mm-hmm. bringing all his full love to you. And here you are that faced the trauma. It's so easy, mm-hmm. humanly, to compare, you know,
right.
certain things. So, okay, my former husband, my deceased husband wouldn't do it that way. And then here you are. Talk to us.
Yes. So I'm glad you asked that question. I get that question so much nowadays, right? So the first thing I will say is I love my husband. He is amazing, right? He's understanding. Even for me, you know, being a spokeswoman and speaking out on, you know, widowhood and helping other widows, he's supportive, right? And so I thank God because God, he was mindful of me. He was mindful of my children, and he is mindful of what I need in the time frame in which I needed it and exactly when he wanted to release it to me. So for all of you ladies in waiting, wait on God. Listen, there is nothing that you can do to rush the Father. When it is time for him to release your husband to you, he will come. This is what I want to say to you as well. What helped me identify my new husband was I was a whole woman. And I'll say that again, because a lot of times we want to go from trauma to triumph without the middle healing part. And that cannot be possible. You have to heal and become a whole person before you try to connect yourself with another whole person. I'll pause there. Selah, right? Because we bringing our baggage, bringing our traumas, bringing those things into a beautiful thing that God is trying to create. Because what does the Bible tell us? It is perfect in its time. It is beautiful in its time. But how can it be beautiful and really see the true manifestation of this glorious thing if I'm trying to bring my old traumas, my old baggage, my old triggers into this beautiful thing? It's going to be sabotage. You are going to self-sabotage. And so what I had to do was I had to seek help, guys. Counseling, therapy helps. I know many of us, you know, we sit and we say, you know, God is going to deliver us. He will. But it also says faith without works is dead. And so you have to get up and you have to talk those things out. It is important for you to be a healed whole woman before you desire to connect with another healed whole man, right? So my process through this 10 years have been really redefining my identity. Okay, God, I was great being a wife. I knew how to do that. I had that on smash. Being a mother, I got that too. You know, I can do that in my sleep. But who was Viary? Who did God design me to be? What was the identity when he thought it so possible to create me in my mother's womb before the foundation of the world and mold me and create me into birthing, into being birthed on January 15th, 1981? Who did he create that person to be? Yes, my triggers and my traumas is a part of my story, but it doesn't define who he created me to be. Who was I? And that's the first question that I pose to my audience today. Who are you? Who are you without your story? Who are you without your triggers and your traumas? Who is that person that God has purposed and destined for you to be here on this earth? What legacy will you create when they call your name? That's the first thing I said to myself. Who was I? The next thing I said to myself, what am I purposed to do? So before I could meet my husband, I had to know what God had for me to do. Because what happens is when I join and become one with him, I have to know because I'm adding value to his life. I'm adding value to his purpose. He's adding value to my purpose. We are complementing each other and remember creating something that is so beautiful. So what am I purposed to do? God, who am I and what am I purposed to do? And is it my purpose in life to be angry? It is my purpose in life to be sad, to be, you know, depressed. That's not what God created. He created you beautifully. He created you to be royalty, to be peculiar, to be chosen. He chose you for a reason. And so searching out and defining and redefining your purpose and your identity is important to who you are becoming. And so in the process of time, I became this beautiful person. I became, you know, this person with the scars. You can see my scars, but guess what? My scars didn't define me. It didn't define who God created me to be. And the same with you. Your scars and your traumas and your triggers doesn't define you unless you allow it to. And so I had to make a decision because it's a choice to be angry. You're making a choice to be depressed and to stay in that place. But you can also on today make a choice to say, I want to be different. I want to be who God created me to be, not what my trauma is, or not what my story is, or not what my past pain is. I want to be that woman who God creates me to be or created me to be in its fullest. And so I made a choice to say, I want to be who God wants me to be. And so I took the proper steps into becoming who I am today. And, you know, joining hands with my husband and walking beside him is a benefactor. You know, I'm now an asset to him. He is an asset to me because we are building and building. It has to be an asset. It has to be something where you're gaining from it. Right. And it's beautiful. And So I hope I answered your question.
You have. Viri, you cannot believe how many messages are coming in here right now to what you're sharing. I mean, from my beautiful wife, Dr. Nicole Ernemay Francis Cotton, she stated, amen, wholeness is key. Yes. Another listener who loves this show stated, God bless you, Viri. She was one of Job's daughters. She has a lot of faith. God is great, powerful woman. So she wants you to know that. And we have another one here. Wow, powerful. Yes, we all have a choice. And I'm so happy you said it, Viri, because we can choose to either stay angry or depressed or whatever it might be based on what we've been through. And just hearing you speak, I'm sure this brings hope to persons listening here on St. Martin, the Eastern Caribbean and around the world once this show is listened to on a rebroadcast. And just looking at the chapter, which is entitled Winning, Putting Purpose on Pause, as we come to the end of this powerful conversation. Now, just hear this, Viri, and everyone who's tuned in. I'm going to read this out, and then you're going to be able to say what you want to say on this, Viri. And then you can share once again how persons can purchase your book. So here we go. God spoke to me and said, heal before you can be a conduit of my healing power. Allow me to heal you so others can see their future in me through you. It was at that moment my eyes were open to the understanding that we can become busy bodies. I'm going to hear this right. We can become busy bodies in our brokenness if we do not put purpose on pause and make our healing a priority. Wow. put purpose on pause and make your healing a priority. Talk to us a little bit about that, because I mean, I have no words for that. This talk to us.
I love God. Oh my God. So this is one of my favorite parts of the book. And I say that because it was so profound, right? I mean, the whole book is profound. Don't get me wrong. But this part, when God gave it to me, I was like, wow, blew my mind. So in this part of the book, I was writing when my son, he got into this major accident in college. He's a football player and he started hanging out with the wrong crowd. Now, my son, I believe he is called to pastoralship. And a lot of times with many of us, when we have a great, amazing anointing on our lives, the enemy doesn't want to see us prosper. And I do believe, I hear many people say, that the level of turmoil and the level of trauma or whatever you go through in your life is the level of anointing. Now, to my, you know, evangelicals or ecclesiastics out here, I do believe that God has a purpose for everyone, right? And the trauma that you go through is designed to create you to find your voice and to pull other people out of the pit. It doesn't matter what level you're on. It doesn't matter the level of trauma you have experienced. And those are the people that are assigned to your voice. And so my son, he was in this major car accident and you know, the car was totaled, wrapped around the tree. He experienced a concussion and he went through a season of amnesia. And so he couldn't remember much, but he remembered two things. He remembered Jesus and he remembered mommy. So he called on those two names, guys. And so we were sitting down talking and he's like, Mom, will I ever be able to play again? Like, this is my career. This is what I was born to do. Now, it was prophesied to him when he was 4 years old that you would make it to the NFL. And he held on to the word of God, right? And so throughout his football career, he's like, well, will I ever be able to play again? I'm losing time. And so I said to him, such profoundly through the Holy Spirit, I said, God is putting purpose on pause so you can heal, so you can recover. The Bible tells me that God will give you back. He will restore the years unto you, which the cankerworm and the locust has eaten. So who are we to sit there and tell God I'm losing time? When he is a God of his word, he honors his word above his name. And so his word says, I shall. That's a promise. I will restore the years unto you that the cankerworm and the locust has eaten. So what is happening, I said to my son, is that God is in, he's working in your favor because this was a period when COVID hit. And so when COVID hit, the football league, the MAC division, gave all of the players, listen to me, guys, an extra year of eligibility.
Wow.
I don't know about y'all, but I'm shouting in my room right now. And so what he did was he added time onto the years in which he was eligible to play. And so in that adding of time, he now is reconditioning him. He's now healing him in the process of time. So when time matches up with purpose, he was ready. I don't know about y'all, but I'm excited about that thing. Why? Because we have to recognize when God is saying, hold on a second. You're not prioritizing your healing. You're not prioritizing the things that I have for you, and you will destroy them. You will be in the process of abortion because you are not prioritizing healing. You are not putting your purpose on pause in order to prosper.
Wow.
You have to pause for a second. Does that mean that purpose won't come to pass? Absolutely not. Because he already designed purpose before the foundation of the world, because he is the creator of all. So who are we to say, I'm losing time?
That's so powerful. You know?
Put purpose on pause and prioritize your healing. And when you prioritize your healing, God will say, I honor that. I honor that because you were mature enough to say, I need to pause. You took accountability enough to say, wait a minute, I'm not in a good place. I'm going to pause because I know purpose is still going to be there because he already gave it. He already placed it on my life. And so what I had to reiterate with my son is that, listen, your purpose is going to be fulfilled. Continue walking in the obedience of the Father. And when he tells you to pause, pause.
Vairi, this is so powerful. Definitely. This is amazing speaking to you. That just listening to those words that you shared, putting purpose on pause and make your healing a priority, because we get so busy. We want things to be rushed in this society that we're in now, this 21st century, 2021. You know, society saying, do this, do the other. You need only 2 days in bed, get back up, out of work, etc. While at the end of the day, the Father of purpose, who've created us for a purpose or with a purpose, is reminding us, put purpose on pause and make your healing a priority. Yeah. Wow. I just want to share this with you. One more listener that sent this in, and then you can share where persons can get your book as we round off this powerful conversation today. Thank God for Miss Vairi, a woman of God. God has created her for a purpose. Do you hear that? Has created her for a purpose. Thank you for such a wonderful interview, Roy
to
Cotton
God
Jr.
Be the glory. To God be the glory, guys. It was only, the Bible says, when you come out of this, no one will get the glory. And they will look at you and say, only God has done this. And truly, only God can restore, can renew, can remind you that you are not alone. Can I speak to the listeners today? You are not alone. God is right there with you. Prioritize your healing. Put purpose on pause. Know that your wounds, they will lead you into a season or a lifestyle of winning. But you have to address them. You have to say, you know what? I want to be different. I'm making a choice to be different. I want to be better. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be angry. I want to be all that God called me to be. And you can be, because I was once that person that was angry. I was angry at God. I was angry at the people around me. I pushed everyone away. But listen, he will meet you right where you are. There is an opportunity for you to love, you to forgive, you to listen and be kind, to take chances and embrace change. God is right there with you. He has never left you. He will never leave you. He will go to the ends of the earth. He will go to hell. That's what he did, and got the keys just for you. Why? Because you are a conqueror. You are more than that. You are an overcomer. You are more than that. And guess what? God can do above what you even think or imagine your life can be. He can do above that. So dream big, think big. Heal big, become whole in a big way, because we serve a big and mighty God. Your new starts right now.
Powerful. Vairi, wow. I am so really grateful to have you on Love and Inspiration. It was timely to have you on, and I am so thankful to have you on Love and Inspiration today. You may
Thank
share
you.
Where you're welcome, Vairi. You can share how persons can get hold of your book as we conclude this powerful talk today on Love and Inspiration.
Sure. Thank you to Roy and Nicole Cotton for having me. You can find my book on www.vairibrandon.com, and that is www.V as in Victor, I-O-R-E-E, Brandon, B-R-A-N-D-O-N.com.
Fantastic. God bless you, Vairi. Thank you for being on Love and Inspiration. This is not the first and the last time, or the last time being on the show. I'm sure I'm going to have you on again, because you are doing amazing work. And for persons just to get an idea of the things that you do, they can also find that on your website, correct?
Yes.
Because you do workshops, a lot of powerful things in terms of widows, yeah? As
yes,
you stated.
Absolutely. And remember, this book isn't only for widows. It goes beyond barriers and, you know, borders of just widows.
Fantastic. I appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, Viree Brandon Nettles Ford here on Love and Inspiration Live from out of Maryland, the USA, here with yours truly, Love and Inspiration, Roy Cotton Jr. on beautiful St. Martin. She's the author of the new book, Wounded, Widowed, and Winning. And you heard how you can purchase the book. And she's on a book tour. You're going to be starting a book tour quite soon, right?
I am. In 2022, me and my team, we're organizing the book tour as we speak. You guys, St. Martin is on my list. So okay. We'll see what comes of that. Yes, absolutely.
Fantastic. Always looking out to have persons like yourself and wonderful people around the world come and visit us here on beautiful St. Martin in the Caribbean. Thank you so much, Viree. Have yourself a blessed and wonderful day with the family.
Thank you.
And thank you for being on Love and Inspiration.
Sadly, you've lost a loved one. You're experiencing complicated grief and don't know what to do. You feel you're losing your mind, or you're experiencing a dark night of the soul due to some painful life challenges and can't seem to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Perhaps you're struggling in your marriage or relationship and feel like throwing in the towel. Maybe you're a student and struggling with your self-esteem and suffer from test anxiety. Or you're a business person hitting the glass ceiling and struggling in your business and need a breakthrough. Or maybe you simply need to retreat and hear yourself think so you may recharge and refocus. Whatever the challenges you face, Victorious Living has developed a solution for you. Call Victorious Living at 1-721-524-8731, 1-721-522-2084, or 1-888-VICTORY. That's 1-888-388-4286. Or visit us at victoriouslivingfoundation.com and transform your life today.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download Bashani Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.